Good morning and welcome to Jaguars.com Live in the pregame, brought to you by EverBank. Brian Sexton along with John Osher in about, 3,000?
Who I just learned from a fan is so sexy, right? Brian Sexton, big day for you.
I think it was, what do they call that, onomatopoeia? They were just playing on
I think it's sounds. I think it's real.
There you go. So, big news today for the Jaguars. Find out this morning that Julius Thomas is going to be active for the first time. Your initial thought on his impact after being gone for 2 months?
Well, you're always hesitant to say first game back, it's going to be a SportsCenter explosion. You know, I mean, so because you don't know how he'll fit in, you don't know exactly how much he'll play. At the same time, this is the guy, you know, as I was walking over here through the BCB, I was thinking, you know, here's a guy who we've almost forgotten about a little bit because we've been analyzing Allen Robinson and analyzing Allen Hurns and Blake Bortles. And it's easy to forget that this is an impact player who they expect to be, if there's three or four cogs in the offense, this guy's the fifth one. This guy is in that mix. So it adds an element to their offense that clearly throughout the offseason when they were planning for this season, this was a big part of it, and a lot of other things played off of that. So is it today where it's a huge impact? I don't know. At some point soon, yes.
But if you're Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns, you feel the impact almost immediately, don't you?
Yes.
Because the coverage has to roll over to Julius.
Well, Gus Bradley said something interesting this week, and it was along the lines of, that really doesn't happen until the other defense sees it and says, we must stop it. Now, does Tampa Bay see Julius Thomas and say, we must double team here? Well, if not, then Julius Thomas has a chance. If they do, then what you said is exactly right. It can't hurt. And if he gets going in the first quarter, then they have to start shading things, and then those guys have more singles. So you don't know exactly the impact and exactly what the Bucs are thinking, but there's no way that if he's Julius Thomas that it's going to be a negative. Even in practice, which is, you know, early in training camp and at OTAs when we saw him, there's a difference in the way he catches the ball, in the way he can go up after balls. We talk about Allen Robinson with 50-50 stuff.
Right.
Julius Thomas can do that too. And he's got the athleticism, speed that's rare at that. I shouldn't say rare, but he is a clear pass-catching, big-play tight end.
Well, we saw that on the practice field.
Yes.
And just, I mean, even in shorts and T-shirts, it was clear that the Jaguars had not had a weapon like that.
Right.
Not since Jimmy Smith.
There are some guys who just look different.
Yeah, it's him.
And that's him. You know, when he catches the ball, you don't hear it. I mean, you know, the hands. So he's got wide receiver skills at the tight end position. That's what this league is right now. People have been talking, well, why haven't they thrown the ball to the tight ends? Well, right now they've got a guy who should make them look like those offenses that utilize this position a lot and maybe even better.
What did you see from Blake Bortles in the first half last week that had you calling it perhaps his best half of football yet? Because I saw that tweet at halftime, and I looked at the numbers, and I agreed. But what did you see looking at the nuance?
Well, it was the numbers, first of all, because at one point he was 16 of 18 or 14 of 16 right there. And that's what occasionally these elite guys will get, is a half where he just turns it on. But there was also that element of, it's hard to define, but when a quarterback is back there and just playing, right, as opposed to back there thinking. And for a while in the second quarter, when he was coming off receiver and going over here, he's done that a couple of times this year, more extended the other day. And if you've watched football, you've seen it, where all of a sudden it looks like the quarterback is playing rather than thinking and planning and worrying. And I'm not saying he's a warrior because he's not, but you know, rather than thinking about what's going on, he looked like he was playing. And the read was coming naturally. And when he saw a guy break open, he wasn't going, should I throw it? It was, I just threw it. You know, the reaction is that quick. So now,
that's kind of what you'd expect for a guy who's, that was his 17th career start. Today is 18.
And you should see more of that. I don't know if realistically start 18, it's going to magically be 60 minutes a game of that.
But from a progression standpoint,
that's
he's
what you
about
want.
Where you
yeah.
expected, right?
And then at the same time, he said, he's always a very honest guy. Wednesday of this week, he said, hey, part of our red zone deal, I missed a read to Mercedes last week in the end zone. It could have been a touchdown. Threw it to Hurns. You know, it was a quick pass in the middle. Could have been there. So that's what you get. Now, it's easy to look back and then say, well, why didn't he throw it? Well, you're talking a split-second decision where if that split thing says don't throw, then you're going the other way.
Right.
So this week, maybe he trusts that. And you see one more red zone touchdown. the red zone stuff, as we've talked about, doesn't get solved overnight. You don't go from 30% to 80% in the red zone. Red zone offense is usually the Achilles heel of a young quarterback, young offense, and as they grow, over this two-game stretch, you see one more touchdown. Over the next four-game stretch, you see three more. And then all of a sudden, one day, you realize the kid's a mature quarterback. Still working toward that, but obviously, it's got to improve. You got to score.
Let's stay with the offense for just a moment. Two things. One, A.J. Can now takes over at right guard.
Right.
We thought he might be in competition for left guard
right.
before the season began. Your thoughts on that? And then T.J. Yeldon and T.J.'s performance last week and what you expect from him.
Well, there's different schools of thought among the fans on T.J. Yeldon. Some can't believe he hasn't run for 500 yards in a game yet. Others say, like what they see. When I look at T.J., I see a pretty decent progression and a guy who looks like he's getting it a little more each week, seeing it, figuring out, okay, on this kind of cut, I can't stop in the hole. I've got to get over to here. Okay, the next week you see him do that better. Had 105 yards last week, and it was the sort of game that you see a lot. Short, 6-7, shorts, and then 36 gets you over 100. It was there. As far as A.J. Can, it's interesting because he was the guy who competed at left guard because Brandon Lender's rock solid at right guard when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But his skill set is really more of a right guard in terms of the brawling, in terms of the – I've heard Jeff Loggeman say maybe Brandon Lender moves to left at some point, allowing A.J. Can to be your right guard. That makes some sense. If Lender is elite enough to do both, then all of a sudden you might have both positions really, really good. I don't expect A.J. Can to be Brian Lender because – everything that you see and sense from Brian Lender.
Yeah. I knew where you were going.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, so
exactly.
I got Brian on the brain. But Brandon Lender might be a special 10-year guy.
Yeah, I think he is.
But A.J. Can fits into the right guard spot enough that you wouldn't expect it to be here. You'd expect it to be here compared to Brandon.
All right, so let's flip it over to the defense where there's not quite as much optimism today. We will not see Sedarik Barks. We will not see Paul Posluszny. Against a rookie quarterback, do they
right.
need those two guys?
Well, they do, and most of all, they need to it's the same old song as all year. They need to figure out how to get pressure. And if you can't do it with four, they need to figure out, okay, how do we blitz effectively enough to make Jameis Winston throw us the ball? Because he will. Although the scary stat there is, Jameis has 7 interceptions in his career, 4 games. Jaguars have 7 since the beginning of last season.
Yeah.
That number's got to get up at some point. They got to press the receivers more. So you'd like to see that at some point.
Jaguars.com live is just a precursor to the day, folks. There's a lot here. Of course, you can follow John tweeting all day long.
Before we wrap up,
yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Forgive me. Yes.
We've talked about it. I mean, this is – I've heard 2,000 with the BCB. I've seen hints of 9, 10.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
I heard there were 8,000 tickets sold in 904.
I mean, this is a staggering representation. Very cool. So I didn't want to get off the air without saying something about it. It'll be a huge story. It's been a huge story. The BCB and these fans, fantastic.
I think so, too. And I've been out here for about an hour now. And everyone's excited about where this team is headed. So Jaguars.com. Listen.
See the crowd.
It's awesome. You guys are awesome. Have fun today. Stay safe. Look at this. It really is cool. And we're going to follow you all in just a moment. John's on Twitter all day. We'll have First Off the Field rapid recap and coverage throughout the night. Enjoy the day, folks. And thanks for joining us here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.